Hello, everyone. What are you staring at me for?
I don't know. I was going to wait to see if you were going to start it or if I was going to start it.
I think you started the last one, didn't you? Mm-hmm. I feel like it just doesn't work if we both do it at the same... Well, it does, but we just never start at the same time.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 3 of
If the Boot Fits. See, we're getting better at it. It's almost like we pre-counted and cut the countdown out.
I don't think you even cut the countdown out last week. But it's funny.
No, did I not? No, I think I did.
Did you?
Oh, did I?
I don't think you did.
Okay.
I said 3, 2, 1, and we were like, we'll cut that out, but we never cut it out.
Nice.
We've got some
exposed.
New additions to our set.
We do. We have a little Woody and a little Beau.
And can you guys see what t-shirt I'm wearing today?
I mean, yeah, you have come on brand.
I haven't.
I feel like I need to get something like that's quite
well on my car keys. I have a Woody and a Beau as well.
Yeah, true.
But both of their legs have fallen off.
Nice.
So Woody's legless, which is, you know, I understand Beau because she's quite old. I've had her for years. But Woody, I got with the t-shirt and that was at Christmas. So he's not really lasted very long, little Woody.
No, he hasn't actually.
But he's only like that big, so.
Yeah, they are tiny. It's like one of the Pop Funko.
They're like the Funko Pops, but like the miniature version of them. But
teeny tiny Woody.
So I'm repping the Wood. And do you know what's really cute about this t-shirt? Because it's Toy Story 4 t-shirt. It's got Bonnie's name on his shoe instead of Andy.
Oh, has it?
Yeah, look, Bonnie.
Oh, it's attention really to detail.
I love it. It's really
love
sweet.
It. They went all out.
They did. Poor Andy. He's been canned.
Oh. Poor Andy. He's a lost man.
He's a lost man.
Well, we have lots to... Well, we have quite a bit to cover today.
Yeah.
I feel like we've kind of pre-planned this one a little bit more in the sense that we haven't really got too many questions. I feel like the last couple of episodes we've been answering and going back to a few questions. I mean, whereas this one, we're going to focus on one specific question that we've kind of been asked a couple of times now for the previous episodes. And that is about working together as a couple and just about having a relationship in the performing arts and musical theatre industry as a whole, in general. I feel like we need to do one of our little mini games that we've that we implement into our episodes of the podcast. And we're going to do who's most likely to?
Are we just going to point at each other? Like, who's most likely to? 3, 2, 1.
Yeah, I think it's going to have to be...
Put your hand up, like, if you think it's you, and point. We've not thought this through, have we?
Well, yeah, well, either way, if it's like, we'll just...
Most likely to, you know, whatever.
Yeah, 3, 2, 1, three, two, point, one. Or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah. Who is most likely to laugh in a serious moment? 3.
Oh, gosh, I don't even know.
3, 2, 1. Yeah, okay, yeah. that's kind of why I was, like, preempting that. Yeah, I feel like neither one of us.
I'm really bad for that.
Like, we're both very much people that, like, laughter is contagious. So if we both see each other laughing or something, like, then we're both gone. We're both gone.
That's
like,
why I tell people not to make jokes to me if they want me to be serious. Because I will think about the joke like 10 hours later and start laughing.
Exactly.
In a really inappropriate time.
Exactly. Especially like on stage as well. Like, it happens more so on stage, you know, like if we've had something in rehearsal or if there's been something that's happened that's funny in one show and then we do it again.
Yeah, I can't.
We can't unassociate, like disassociate that from that moment in the show.
Also, I got like a major case of the giggles the other week when I was getting a massage. And like, I've never had this before, but I was getting like a facial and like she was like massaging my head and like my chest and my shoulders and stuff. And like, I was just like literally about to die with laughter and I was holding it in so much. I couldn't even relax. I was like this, like she must have seen me like smirking.
Oh yeah. 100%.
But then I thought, well, I can't just burst out laughing. But you know, when you get to the point where you're about to burst out laughing.
Yeah.
That happened to me.
But that's why I can't. That's why I can't go. I can't go for massage for that very reason, because I will just laugh. I can't deal with it. I'll just get the giggles. It'll be the least relaxing thing.
I don't know what was making me laugh, but something was just tickling me. Who is most likely to show up late to rehearsal? 3, 2, 1. Me.
Not that you've been late to a rehearsal.
But I'm most likely to. Well, I probably have.
But like,
actually,
I'd be there like an hour early.
Although, you know, at this point, you know, if I'm late to rehearsal, it's fine. if I was team wrote it on for a certain time, I was never late.
Yeah, yeah.
I am running late a lot, you know, because I'm unorganized, as we established in the last episode. And you're like always early to everything.
Yeah, I'll be that person that's like, even if it's like an audition that I have a slot for at a certain time, I'll be the person that's there like an hour and a half early.
Oh my
warming
God.
Up and
God,
like,
I wouldn't be that person like, at all.
This is as long as it's not an open call. I mean, open calls are bad. Like, I was literally outside Pineapple at like 5 a.m.
Well, yes, that's that. I think the earliest I've got to an open call has been like 6,
yeah,
to be honest. Like, my commitment is half there because part of me is like, I'm just here because...
Bearing in mind, though, I made sure, like, when I was in the hotel, I was at Covent Garden, so I literally came out of the hotel and was just there. So I didn't really need to be that early, but also it's a good job I was, because otherwise I would definitely not have been seeing. Who's most likely to go off script and derail the topic?
Goodness.
I know the answer to this is so obvious. Three, two, one.
Literally, I mean, we both do it,
just had a fine example of that. Yes, it happens all the time. I feel like I go off on like a right tangent as soon as like something enters my head. It's just because I have to say it in that moment. Otherwise,
I do that too. Yeah. To be honest, yeah. There's both of us.
I'm terrible for it. Literally,
maybe you a little bit.
The last two podcast episodes have been a pain in the backside to edit because I just waffle nonsense. Like, there's been like 10-minute sections that just were not even relevant to anything we were talking about. Because I'd send it all off topic.
Who's most likely to plan a spontaneous date night? 3, 2, 1.
That question doesn't make any sense, but yeah, both of us.
Why does it?
Well, because why would you plan a spontaneous date night?
Well,
you don't plan a spontaneous date night.
Well, you have to plan it, don't you?
Like, yeah, but then it's not
on
spontaneous.
The day, just be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to plan this date for tonight. You still plan?
Oh yeah, I think both of us would do it.
Yeah, so
both of us would do it. Yeah, I just sat there and I was like, "Are you planning it or is it spontaneous?" Like, I don't know if that really makes sense.
You have to plan it to an extent. Yeah, even if it's spontaneous.
Yeah, I mean, both of us would do that. Who's most likely to join a cult accidentally? 3, 2, 1. Not you getting signed up to do some like live streaming promotional thing. God. That sounds like a cult.
Yeah, that's definitely me. I'd be like, these people are really nice.
Really, really nice. They've only asked for my 16-digit bank number and my security code and where I live.
I trust too easily. Yeah.
Honestly, yeah. I feel like that's definitely a you thing. Like,
that is.
I feel like, yeah.
Just accident. Yeah.
It'll be something like...
Maybe I'm in one and I don't even know.
Selling like, I don't even know, wax melts.
Wax melts.
Something.
That's like a pyramid scheme.
Yeah, that's the same. That's essentially the same thing.
Pretty
like,
much cool.
You'd be selling like body shop or something. I don't know.
Who is most likely to forget an important date? 3, 2, 1. I think it's me.
I don't know.
You're
feel
well organized.
Yeah, I am, but I feel like sometimes I'm too organized in the sense that I forget something. Like, I feel like I have all these dates in my head of things that are happening, but do I actually remember what's on those dates? Probably not half the time.
Maybe not.
Like, I feel like
I
forget.
Like, we have a calendar now, so it's fine.
Yeah, now we have a shared calendar. It's a lot easier. But yeah, there would be like dates in my head, and I'm like, what is even happening? Like, I know something is happening. Can never remember what it is. At all.
Well, I've got all sorts of things flying around my
calendar. I literally today had to sit through and like make an Excel spreadsheet of like all the gigs that I've like that I'm doing, because otherwise I'll just forget.
I just appreciate where. Mitchell's just said he's made an Excel spreadsheet of his gigs, and this explains our point of the organized side of you.
Yeah, but that's because I'm forgetful. If not, otherwise I'm forgetful, so I have to add to it.
Wild.
Well, it's quite...
And the question was, who's most likely to forget an important date?
Yeah,
and
but that's why I have to do things like that. Because
a spreadsheet.
But I forget things. I'm a forgetful chap. I'm a forgetful fella.
Ooh. My God.
That was an angry beep. Who is most likely to move to a different country for a fresh start? 3, 2, 1. That was a...
What was that?
That's a both of us.
I mean, I would if I could.
Yeah.
But I can't. Yeah. I'm diabetic, so I can't live anywhere but here, really. But I do thrive in the sunshine. In an ideal world, I would absolutely love to go live somewhere and just ghost everyone from the UK.
Yeah.
No offense, everyone in the UK.
Yeah. Just start anew.
No, I'm joking.
Yeah, no. I like it here. I love my friends. I love my family. Chicken nuggets are my family.
King Curtis. What a ledge. Well, that kind of wraps up our
Who's most likely to.
Two. I'm not sure we agreed on most of them.
No, I feel like it was, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't really know. I feel like we're just very similar in a lot of ways, to be honest.
Yeah. Only really the organisational skills that are different. The question at hand, it was about how do we deal with working together?
Yeah.
In a relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
And our experience of that and the fact going into like the industry and a relationship and stuff like that. I've got a few experiences I can share.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like, I mean, all sorts of things, you know, like relationships in drama school, long distance in different contracts and things, obviously working together like we do now. There's plenty to discuss, I'm sure. We needed a whole episode, I think, to kind of touch ground on this and yeah.
Yeah. So how do you find working with me, Mitchell?
Absolutely dreadful.
The thing is, we don't actually work. Obviously, we work together, but we're not in the same job.
Yeah.
Technically.
Yeah, we're not like we're not in the same job. We don't, you know, we don't cross paths sort of during the daytime unless there's a rehearsal that you've been called in for.
Yeah.
So actually, we kind of are very separate in that sense.
Yeah.
You know, you do things outside of work that I don't do. And, you know, and then we obviously work together in the evenings for like the main shows and things like that. And and a couple of the band sets and things. But apart from that, so we literally only work together for a couple of hours in the evening, really. Yeah,
exactly. But I've had like experiences of both sides of it. Mm-hmm. Like, but I think like the dynamic for us two is like fine. And also I feel like it's not, like the danger of having a relationship with someone at work is that you feel you've seen them because you're going to work.
Mm-hmm.
And some people would mistake that for like seeing each other, if that makes sense. Like, yes, yeah. I'm seeing you at work, but we're not spending time together as a couple.
Yeah.
Like it's not quality time.
Yeah, it's like not like it's just me. Like it's not just me and you. We're not in like some nine to five office job. We're literally on our feet dancing and performing the whole time.
And we're working, so it's not like we're there being all like lovey dovey.
No, exactly. Exactly.
But I feel like it can easily turn into like, oh well, I've seen you six times this week.
Yeah.
So we don't need to plan anything.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's like that's dangerous, really, because
exactly,
you're not spending any quality time. You still have to make sure you have a life outside of work, because in the past, like I'm going back to when I was like 18, I think, like when I worked in a pub and I was like dating one of the guys at the pub, and I remember we just never really saw each other outside of well, we did, but like it was I don't know. It was just a work relationship.
Because it's like a full-time job, it's literally a relationship in work, isn't it?
There's a difference between having a relationship and then seeing each other at work.
Exactly.
And having a work relationship.
Yeah.
Because you could be like, oh, I feel like I've not seen you all week. And they're like, oh, I saw you yesterday at work. And it's like, no.
But you haven't actually seen them.
That's not the thing. Yeah.
You've not seen them at all, really. Like, you've not had a chance to, you know, have a romantic relationship with that person. You've just had to work with them.
Exactly. Because we are like ships in the night, really.
Yeah.
Because by the time I come in to work, you're already working. So I'm backstage. I don't really see anybody. And then when I go on to stage, or if you're doing like your singing set before my singing set, it's literally I'll see you for 2 seconds and I'll be straight on stage. There's no break. And then we're straight into the show, which obviously we're doing the show. We're not talking really, we're just performing.
Yeah.
And then after the show, I have like 2 songs to quickly get changed and I'm straight back into the band set. And by that point, you're on the doors doing your job. So it's literally ships in the night in the evening.
We see each other for literally like an hour in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah. It would be hard to get on top of each other in that, because we don't really see each other that much.
Which is good, because I mean, our relationship is very much outside of work. Like the time we spend together is outside of work, which is good, because, you know, sometimes, you know, not saying that it would be, because, you know, we've obviously spent like the we've had like the rollout days, for example, for like a new show.
Yeah.
We're obviously spending like all day, 9 to 5 with each other, Monday to Friday. And it's yeah, you know, we're very much, we've been lucky to sort of have the relationship outside of work where obviously some people work together constantly. And like you said, sometimes it's really hard and it's sometimes quite overbearing because it's like, you know, sometimes if you have a disagreement like in work about something as well, especially in a job like this, it's like if you have a disagreement and it's like you then go back home with that person, it's then like, oh, brilliant. Well, you know, you've then got to take that back with you as such. Whereas, you know, we're very fortunate in the sense that obviously as much as I'd like to work with you more and more, like it's probably better that we don't, because at least we can enjoy and like appreciate the time we do get to spend together outside of work. And we can still have the beauty of going home and talking about the show that just happened, but we don't sort of have anything, any time sort of in between to sort of like latch on to negative things that may have happened in the daytime.
Yeah, exactly. And I do think it helps that we don't live together as well. Because we, you know, if I was, so I used to be in the same job as what Mitchell was in. And in that job, you live on site. And I lived on site for about 8 months in that job. And if I was still in that job, I would be living somewhere on site, maybe with you, maybe not with you. But that makes it difficult because obviously you're in all day together, you're going home together, and that can get a bit much, especially in the early days. It's kind of similar to what we said last week about the Love Island theory, where you're spending like so much time with someone where normally you wouldn't see that person. If you're starting to date someone, you're not going to literally see them all day and then see them all night. It's just not a normal circumstance to be in.
No.
And I like the fact that we don't live together, so we can have that choice when we want to see each other, and it keeps it like fresh because we plan to see each other.
It keeps everything fresh and it makes us appreciate the time that we do spend together a lot more. Like I said, it's you know, because they're not on top of each other constantly. It's nice because then we can look forward to the next time we see each other, and we can plan to do things and things like that, rather than being like, oh great, we've got to do this tomorrow at work from this time to this time, and then we're you know, we're both on very different schedules as such, which works quite nicely for the most part, because it's not like a restrictive schedule as well. Like obviously we do see each other in the evenings, but like it's like when I have my day off, I can obviously see you, and like when I don't start until a bit later on in the evening, I can also see we can do things, so we still have all the time to see each other and things like that. And you know, we're not far away from each other, we don't have the issue of long distance or anything like that.
Which obviously we're making the most of, because this situation is not going to last forever. And obviously we say it's keeping it fresh, like as if we've been together for like 5 years. Obviously it is fresh anyway, because we've not been together too long. But yeah, we may as well appreciate what we have now, because obviously in this industry, you're going to have to go through long distance. Like there's going to be times where you're apart. And that's just the nature of the business. Like, I've always wanted to be with someone in the industry. Like, I just have. I just think that's just what I personally want. But it doesn't come without issues.
I mean, some people say, like, you know, like, in the sense of, like, opposites attract. And, you know, some people prefer, you know, dating and having a relationship with someone that's not in the industry at all. Like, because they think it's just, you know, it's easier, and you know, they don't have to sort of worry necessarily maybe about the long distance side of things. They don't have to worry about their partner being away from them, whatever. But obviously, like you said, like for me as well, I've always wanted to date someone who is like a performer. And it's, it definitely comes with its challenges. I mean, we haven't faced like any like long distance yet at all.
No.
But obviously, again, this industry is so unpredictable in the sense of, you know, there's cruises, there's tours and West End and things like that. It's, you know, and again, like because we don't live together, obviously, depending on the jobs and where we are at a certain point in what we all want to, what we both want to do, it's like sometime we're probably going to have to like face long distance of some sort, even if it's not like overseas and things like that. Like even if it's just like a couple of hours away or whatever, you know, there's going to be times when we have to face that. And you know,
the only way that wouldn't happen is if somebody gives it up, and that's the problem. Like, not the problem, but like when I say it doesn't come without hardships, that's what I mean, because both people want it exactly the same amount. Whereas if you're in a relationship with someone who's not in the industry, quite often they're in a stable job, they are in one location, so you can kind of go wherever and it's always going to be just one. Whereas there's got to be some sacrifice, because it gets to the point, for example, if Mitchell got a cruise ship job next week, just making this up, but if you did and you went on a cruise for 6 months, so we would long distance for 6 months, but then I get a cruise ship job a month before you're meant to get off the ship for 6 months.
Exactly.
Either then got to sacrifice that, or I'm not going to see you for a year. And then it's like, well, hang on, a year not seeing your partner is too long. So, you know, there's a lot of things like that are tricky, but it's just people make it work. People
make it work. The people that want to make it work, it happens.
I don't know if it can happen without any like sort of sacrifice.
Yeah, there has to be sacrifice.
Maybe compromise is
compromise. Compromise is the right word. Like, there has to be compromise on both parts, I suppose. Like, you know, there's times when, you know, for example, the cruise, that, you know, this is what I mean. Like, I've not wanted to do like a long term cruise contract, like you said, like 6 months. 6 months would be my max, like, for anything like 8 months or anything. I've never really been interested in doing that, unless it was maybe like a musical or something, because I don't think I'd cope with like the being away. And like, that's not even just like from you as my partner, like that's obviously like family and friends and things like that. And obviously you make friendships on ships and stuff like that, of course, but I just don't think, you just can't beat home, can you? And like you said, I suppose it's like, again, if you, they obviously being in the same industry, if you then get a cruise contract, it's then like, oh well, you know, obviously would never want you to like not take that if that was offered to you.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's there's got to be compromise, but also you have to kind of be a team, don't you?
You have to be secure. Like, you do have to be so secure. There's no, like, you can't be like jealous or like in doubt if you're in a relationship. Mm-hmm. I mean, in general, really, but in this industry especially, because you just have to trust. And like, cruise ships are wild for cheating and affairs and stuff. I mean, every job in this industry kind of is a little bit renowned for that, like affairs, and like that comes with the job, because it's like a passionate job and people are performing together all the time.
Yeah, it's, so you have to have a lot of faith and trust in who you're with.
Like, I couldn't do it with like anybody. This is like, if there's a seed of doubt or I don't trust you in like the tiniest bit, there's just no point, because you're literally going to be halfway across the world. And but that probably would, you know, who's to say that's even going to happen with us? We don't know. Like, but because we're both in this industry together, it's probably likely that at some point, like say, even if it's not overseas, it's going to be some distance there. So it is just at the minute, just soaking up the time that we have together. Because this is like an ideal scenario.
I was going to say, it's perfect.
It's not going to be forever.
No.
I never want you to be like, oh, I'm not going to do this because let's just settle, and because that's not what we want to do.
Like, no, we neither one of us should, you know, like give up on what we want to do. It's like, especially, it's not just one of those things where it's like opportunity doesn't come all the time, especially for, you know, like West End things, tours, whatever. It's a very rare occasion. I mean, cruises are a lot more open and like accessible audition wise and things like that. So there's always something like cruise wise, whether it's like guest or whether production team or whatever, or musical. But it's, you know, it's one of those things where we've both, well, you've obviously had a longer training period than I did, but we've both worked so hard to get to this point and to train to be able to go to auditions and things like that. It's like, it's not something worth giving up, because you put in countless hours at drama school. Like, drama school is not for the faint-hearted. You don't just go to drama school to not do perform. I mean, some people
have, and that to me is crazy.
Which is crazy, but also
a lot of money, I think, and time and effort.
Like, you drama school is obviously one of those things where you find out if it's actually for you and what you want to go into. You know, you know, we recently got our headshots redone by a photographer called Lauren Grace, who I actually trained in the same place with. And she's now a freelance photographer and videographer and things like that. Like she's, you know, she teaches, I think, occasionally. But apart from that, you know, she's not performing anymore. And that's just because she's found something else within the industry and creative, something creative. Field, she's still, she's still like using skill sets to help performers as well. You know, she's still getting more enjoyment out of it. And that's absolutely fine, you know. But
I just think if you're wanting a relationship in this industry, you just have to be aware that it's just not smooth sailing, like a norm, not even normal relationship, but like people that I don't know, met in school, for example, they've lived in the same village, they've like then bought a house because they've got stable jobs, because also the money side of it, like you don't make that much money as a performer until I don't know, like your big break or whatever, really. So it's not as easy to save for like a house, for example, as performers, because you're often self-employed or you don't really know where your next check is coming from, kind of
thing. Exactly, yeah, it's hard, isn't it?
And, you know, you have to spend a lot of money on auditioning and hotels to travel there and all that sort of stuff, and your headshots, and that's all very
expensive.
You're
almost your own boss constantly, aren't you, in terms of this industry? You know, it's like, it's not just a job where you're earning money. If anything, you're probably putting more money into it than what you're actually
getting out of it,
you know, like traveling to auditions and things like that. Sometimes it actually comes at more of a loss financially than you know, a normal job. It's not like you have to pay to go and work in an office, like you get paid to be there.
You don't have to pay to go to the interview.
Well,
you might have to pay for a up at 5 a.m.
Exactly.
Hotel in the center of London, you know, stuff like that, and then get recalled 2 days later and have to go back and you know. So all the financial side of it is different as well, because it often takes performer couples longer to actually become financially stable, to get like a house and stuff like that. So that's another thing to be aware of, because it's just not because again, if you're a performer and you're with someone who's in like a business job and they're earning this mass amount of money, you can almost afford to kind of be like, oh well, you know, I'm secure regardless, so I can do my gig and whatever, and it's
still
not too,
go on you've still got somewhere to be back to.
Some people enjoy that side of it and they want a normal person. I've never wanted that personally. I'd take the like compromises and the sacrifices.
Exactly, because, you work together, don't you? You know, it's you have to work as a team, and you work out what each other want and what each other need and things like that, and that's you just make it work.
You just have to have so much trust. And like, I've experienced relationships as well, like from my perspective of like they've been away on cruises or whatever and I've been at home, and it's just not easy, like at all. But you do have to be fully trusted, and I don't know, I almost feel like there's got to be an end goal to something, because the open-ended, like constant distance, that's when it's like, I can't see the light here.
Yeah, like what is it?
So again, there's compromises that have to be made at some point, because there has to be a point where you both decide, right, let's not be distant anymore.
Yeah.
It's just when that point. And obviously me and you have like a 6-year age gap as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that will come into play, maybe. We're not sure, but we're gonna figure it out. Maybe on like episode 100 of the Boot Fits, we can tell you.
When we're old and grey.
Well, how long are we gonna be here together to record it, hey? Can we record on the road?
We'll see.
Can we record from a floating ship in the middle of the ocean?
We can
I'll let you figure that
out. Maybe we'll both be on one together. Like, who knows? That's the thing, you just don't know.
This is the thing. This is the dream, isn't it? To do it together.
Yeah, you can.
That's the dream.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, they do hire couples.
They do.
With me especially, it's difficult with ships, because there's only a very select few ships that I can get on. Maybe I should do a story time next episode of my experience auditioning for cruise ships and what I experienced
Maybe you and Tom Barnwell need to do an episode together.
Yeah.
I'll go away. I'll leave. I'm just gonna.
No, but I do think I should talk about that, because
100%.
If there's any diabetic performers watching, it's good to be aware of what I experienced with that. Because there are some cruise ships that don't accept diabetics, and it's a blanket ban, and I didn't know that. So I'd like to speak about what happened there.
Yeah.
But I'll explain that because that's like a whole story time.
Yeah, that's...
Should I drop the company name and everything?
Oh, maybe not.
I don't know. But, you know, it happened and that's their fault. But anyway, there's only a select few cruise ships I can actually do. And it's like UK-based ships, basically. Mm-hmm. So, again, I don't want to feel like, oh, holding Mitchell back because he's getting offered like Royal Caribbean and I can't do that. But it would be ideal to do it together. That would be great.
Absolutely. I mean, even if it's not like as like production or whatever, you know, like there's duo acts. You can make shows and things like that, put sets together, band. Like there's so many things within this industry there's so much more to the industry than just like a production team. You know, there's guest act, entertainer slots.
Well, I didn't even know that band singers really existed until I came here, and then now it's my job.
Now it's your job.
Like, I didn't know about, like, I remember when my friend said she was becoming a band singer at another hotel, and I was like, what's that? Like, I literally didn't understand what she meant. And that opens a whole world of opportunity because cruise ships have band singers. And, you know, function bands at weddings, they have lead singers.
Exactly.
That's something you can do together.
And that's also, like, a good thing as well. Like, in between, obviously, you know, like, when you come, say, if you were doing a long-term cruise contract, there's always going to be bands that need singers or things like that, whether it's a wedding or, like, a function, a corporate event, whatever. There's always bad. Like, that's kind of, you know, I slot things in between here, don't I, where I do weddings and things. I've got some weddings in August and... I've just been booked up for a couple of like theatre touring shows for like in the year. You can kind of fit things into like your main thing. Obviously, you can't when you're on a ship, but you know what I mean.
Yes. Like, but I think going back to working together as well, I think it's important you have other stuff going on because we work together in this job. But again, me being self-employed, and you're self-employed as well, not in this job, but like. Outside of this job, you do a lot of things outside of the job we're in together, and I do a lot of things outside of the job that we're in together. So we don't always work together, you know. We go off, we do other things.
And we go and watch each other in different things as well. You know, you do a theatre show that I've been to see, and that I'm going to see again in a couple of weeks' time, and then you and your sister and the friends and stuff are coming to watch me in the ABBA show that I do. Yes. So it's nice; it keeps it fresh, and you can gives us different things to talk about as well. Because I feel like if we were just here, for example, we wouldn't have anything new to talk about because we'd both just be talking about the same things over and over again. We know different people, you know.
Yeah,
you've met each other's friends and things like that. It's nice to have that differentiation.
That was another point I was going to say about working together is the difficulty sometimes of like separating the work from, because it's quite easy to separate at work from couple life and work life.
Yes,
because it's easy to be a professional and not let a relationship like. Not that it would ever get in the way of the work.
To like take charge of the work, you know, like interfere with it, like, and
however,
conflict as such.
At home, obviously, you have to make sure you're not like just constantly talking about work because that can be a very draining process, very cycle. And obviously, we don't like come home and not talk about it at all.
No, of course, there's going to be things. It's part of our day and it's part of our lives. We're always going to ask each other.
But yeah, that's something that's quite important, just not letting it consume you. But again, I think the bubble that we're in at work is not, it's not a bubble because like I've just said, we do other stuff outside of it. So that makes it a lot easier not to just focus on one thing.
Yeah, I suppose as well, because our relationship sort of grew and blossomed like in work, it's like everyone is sort of seen like, the majority of like the development in the relationship as such, which is hard because I feel like although we're able to separate sometimes from like, you know, from our relationship to work and things, you know, sometimes in any job, I suppose it's like outsiders sometimes might not be able to do that.
Like everyone yeah. in the hotel knows your business. Yeah. Like it's everyone. Crazy.
And especially where like, I live as well.
People knew before we knew.
Yeah, somehow.
But anyway, it's like, obviously you have to be prepared for that as well.
Like yes.
The gossip side of it.
Yeah.
That everybody sort of sticking their nose inside of it. Like, that's just going to happen. People I don't yes. even know. Like, seriously.
Yeah, literally.
I don't even know your name. And you literally. Know more about my it life was, than apparently I do.
It was when we went in for, I feel like I can talk about this. It's funny. When we went in for dinner that time, I feel like we weren't together at this point.
No.
We went in for dinner one time, but I think you'd been round. And we just went up to get our food because we ate at work this one particular night. And this guy had asked me, I don't know which one he spoke to first.
Me, I think
he spoke to you first, and he said something to you about what you were doing on your Saturday night or something.
Well, what were you doing on your
bearing in mind
off?
So that's like our one day off, like that was our one evening off or whatever. And where I live is quite in the open, so to be fair, like it wasn't like a hidden thing. Like if people drove past where I live, they're gonna see that.
No,
you're here.
It wasn't hidden, but it was just,
yeah, I feel like everyone else was making out that it was a hidden thing. That
yeah.
was that's where the issue lied, was that we wasn't trying to hide it as such, but there's a difference between hiding it and just being entitled to having a private life.
Yeah.
And just it having a social life outside of work. Like,
yeah.
But then we come in and it's like, oh, what you do? What were you doing on Saturday night? What were you doing there? What were you doing here? And I'm thinking, yeah. come on. Like,
these random people. Like,
I don't go around your house and question what you're doing with your life. But we were.
That's the thing, because we're a small department. We are like almost the magnifying glasses on us. So yes. anything that happens,
anything
in our
new,
department,
anything changing, yeah. it's all eyes.
Yeah. Which is understandable. Yeah. Everyone likes
it happens.
Gossip.
It happens anywhere.
But
you know.
It's just funny. Like, I remember a time I was dropping Mitchell off back here and we were sat in the car chatting for like half an hour. And like every single staff member that drove past the car was stopping their car.
Stopping and just
and literally being like looking in the car. And I was like, what is wrong with you guys? Like, you're so weird.
Yeah,
like, you're so weird.
It was definitely a great time, but to be fair,
like,
it didn't take long for people to kind of get over that though.
No, but
as soon as it was established, like,
yeah.
people are kind of off your case. Well,
every like I think I've experienced three work relationships.
Third disgraceful
again,
behavior.
I'm going back to when I was like in a pub when I was 18.
Yeah, so
everyone
like,
bloody dates
yeah.
when you work in a pub in
oh,
you're
exactly,
18.
Yeah.
And it's been the same every time. Everyone just is like, oh my God,
yeah.
But actually, like, you know, when I was 18, it was very different. I was like feeding into the gossip. Whereas now I'm like 26 and I'm just like, I just wanted like...
I just want a life.
Private.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't a secret, because obviously if it was a secret, I wouldn't have even been around the house.
Yeah,
like,
I was gonna say, we would have done a much better job at keeping it a secret if we
not
wanted...
Not necessarily like, secret, because we weren't doing anything wrong. Like,
no,
it's only
literally
meant,
nothing.
Like, obviously people are secretive if there's been like... an affair or something like, but there was no seediness, but I just didn't want to announce it.
That's what I mean. I was like, did they want like a public service announcement?
We almost feel like you want to gather the entire hotel.
Yeah, call a meeting and be like, right,
since we're all talking about this,
yeah.
let's just get it out in the open since we're all so bothered. People meet in the workplace all the time. That's a normal thing because, mm-hmm. you know, you meet people at the gym, you meet people at work, you meet...
Course,
there's certain
yeah.
places you just meet people. And yeah. a lot of the time it's work. But unfortunately, mm-hmm. it does make you a public relationship, basically.
Yeah.
Essentially.
You just have an instant sort of, you know...
Everyone has to be...
It's everyone's relationship.
Yeah, that's
or
how
no
it
one's.
Feels. It's kind
yeah.
of like, yeah, like, having a work relationship yeah. similar to being,
yeah,
like.
But then maybe, but then again, I feel like I've not experienced a relationship in the workplace before. So I was like, is this always what it's like? Like, is it?
I don't know. I feel like sometimes, but yeah, I've never had any. I don't think I've ever had a work relationship where it's not been like people are like involved or have like opinion, but everyone's gonna have opinions anyway.
Yeah.
But they can't have an opinion if they don't know your partner.
Like, yeah, exactly.
I would prefer to just know you myself and have everyone at work not, and then you're just my
sometimes
boyfriend.
I feel that way.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I just want you to be my boyfriend, rather
exactly,
than
rather than everyone's boyfriend.
My advice, if anybody's watching that wants advice on this, my advice is, actually, on reflection, just be open about it, because people are going to gossip regardless. And actually, you give them less to gossip about if you just say something. Even if you want to keep it private, unfortunately, in the work setting, you just can't. It's impossible. Like, it's impossible. So you may as well just be upfront about it, and then everyone won't speak about it, hopefully. Well, they shouldn't anyway.
Hopefully not.
Hopefully not.
We'll see.
And also, don't constantly talk about work when you're at home.
No.
Because that can be very draining.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in a negative way. Like, it's funny to talk about work and be like, oh, that happened in the show. That's funny.
Mm.
But also, if you've had a rubbish day at work...
Going through all the different adjectives.
Obviously, normally, you'd be able to go to your boyfriend and your girlfriend that's mm-hmm. outside of work and tell them about it. So, you can still do that. Just because we work together, that's not us talking about work.
Mm-hmm.
For example, we don't wake up and be like, I don't know, what's the schedule for today? Like... You better cut that.
Yeah, definitely have to cut
maybe
that
just
this
put
out.
Bleeps over what
yeah,
you
I'm gonna
said.
Have to put like dolphin noises over the top of it or something.
Yeah, do that. So you can all be suspicious about what we've just spoken about. But yeah, obviously you can still talk about it if you've had a bad day. You just have to be aware not to let it consume you, because it's hard. But I'd prefer it if we didn't work together. But that's just how we met, and there's nothing we can do. And I've just contradicted myself in a way, because I said it's nice that we see each other a lot. But I would like you to myself in that sense.
I'd
love for you to just be completely a separate thing.
Like a separate entity from...
I would love that, yeah. But unfortunately...
From the work life. But yeah, no, it happens. But also, if it didn't happen, then we wouldn't be together, really, would we? If you think
exactly.
about it.
And one day that will be the case. Like, we'll work in different places.
Exactly.
And the people we work with aren't going to know...
each other, yeah. It's not going
to
be how it is. Yeah,
anyway,
of how it has been. Yeah, yeah. It's yeah.
And I'm looking forward to that, to just have a separate life. But also, you know, I like seeing you at work and I like performing with you, so I'll miss that too. So shall I do a question to end the ep?
Yeah, go on. We'll do a question. We'll answer one question.
This is quite nice, actually.
Okay.
What was your first impression of each other?
Oh, you go first.
Well, I don't know. I just thought you were like, my very, very first time meeting you didn't have that much of an impression. Because
I feel like
for like 10 minutes.
And also we were in very different positions to how we are now. Like,
yeah,
we were both, you were in a relationship and...
But like first impression.
First literal impression,
not
yeah.
romantic impression, just first impression. Yeah, yeah. I just thought you were really nice. Really
That's
nice
great.
Person.
Just thought you were really nice.
Well, like everyone does.
Did?
I was going to say did, but that makes it sound like everyone now hates you. Like yeah. That's not the case.
Well,
everyone
might as well be.
Was saying like how nice you were and stuff. And just how lovely you are and how humble you are. So that was my first impression.
It's important.
Like humble, nice and talented.
Yeah.
And handsome. Joking. For legal
reasons.
I'm
not handsome.
No,
I'm joking.
Yes. Yeah, handsome. Yeah, you can think other people are handsome. Okay, what was your first impression of me?
I thought you were really, really lovely. I mean, like you said, it was a very like quick sort of introduction in a way, wasn't it? I mean, you just come back off a cruise, so the fact that you're wearing your Disney jumper just was like the best thing ever.
Yeah,
I was a huge fan of that, and I think it just like the whole thing, I just feel like I got like a really good insight to your personality just from the get-go, just from how you are. Like you were just very bubbly and lovely, and you have a really nice smile, and
aww.
Yeah, you're just
you
really,
thought?
Really cute. Yeah,
a nice smile.
Yeah, and a nice laugh as well. Yeah.
But the main points of this whole segment is be trusting. Mm-hmm. If you're not a trusting person, I'm afraid that you're not going to survive in a performance-based relationship.
Yeah, exactly.
You're a jealous,
and you
toxic
have to,
person.
Yeah.
That ain't going to work.
Yeah, it's not going to work at all, and you really do have to have a lot of trust and a lot of patience as well. Obviously, you know, sometimes like you said, you might be long distance, you might not be. Sometimes the long distance can do more than being together all the time. Like, I feel like it makes you appreciate the person more if you spend too much time with them, maybe. But like, yeah, it's
it definitely keeps it fresh.
Yeah, Exactly.
But, you know, if you do long distance too much all at the start of a relationship, that's
exactly
when
at
I
the
think
start. It's yeah.
It can be a bit.
Yeah, there has
to,
like
to
you
know.
Said, there has to be a time when you both kind of come to the conclusion that you have to make what's the word?
Compromises.
So
we've got trust, compromise,
patience.
I think selflessness as well.
Mm-hmm.
Can't be selfish.
No.
Because I would never stop Mitchell from doing anything
exactly.
he wanted
no,
to
I'd
do
never
because
stop
I would going to feel upset about it.
Of course.
I wouldn't, even if mm-hmm. I was devastated, which I would be, obviously, if we had to move away from each other.
Yeah.
But I would never stop that because that's just, that's controlling and that's not very nice. But yeah, it's all of those things, you know. And if you are that kind of jealous, toxic person, you should probably go to therapy, to be fair.
That's so valid. I feel like that's a good place to end.
Maybe work on yourself before you get with someone else. What do you think, Bo?
Great.
Silence speaks a million words.
Exactly. Exactly.
If only you could speak and say if the boot fits. Maybe we should get one that you pull the string.
Maybe we need like a Build-A-Bear version of like... Oh yeah, maybe we do get the string... pull string version, whatever they're called. Ella is going to Mallorca tomorrow. Woo! So we did have to record ASAP because I mean we delayed it quite a bit.
Around all day.
It's now literally like almost 6:30 in the evening. Normally we record a bit earlier, but you know, we've fitted in. We can't leave you all hanging.
In 2 hours.
Exactly.
And I've not even eaten my dinner yet.
Exactly. We're gonna go and eat some good food.
Talk There's about cooking it fine.
Exactly. And the weather's back to normal. It's been a bit bipolar today, but actually it's not so bad now.
Yeah,
I'm sure it'll be better in Mallorca, though.
Yeah, so next time I'm here, I'll have been to Mallorca, so sorry.
She's going to come back very, very tanned.
No, I doubt it.
I bet you will.
We'll try.
I bet you will. All right, but make sure you are following us on Instagram at
ifthebootfitpod. I wonder if anybody subscribed after we told them to
maybe
last week
maybe we and subscribe to the channel as well. You can send in any dilemmas, questions, queries, concerns, anything to the Instagram, either a message, a voice note, or the email address in the description below if you're watching on YouTube or Spotify. But yeah, I think that's everything.
That is everything.
All right,
and remember, if the boot fits,
wear it. Oh, hang on, what? You're slowing down at the end. Wear it. I'm like Wally.
Oh, wait. Oh,
no, what?
Wait, I can't stop yet. I have a really important question from your sister. I completely forgot. We have to do that now.
Okay.
Let me just get it up just to make sure that I've got the right thing.
What is this question?
Rewind.
What is this question?
It's a very important, serious question. So pay attention. Are you ready?
Okay.
This is a question from Mitchell's sister, Elise. Shout out to you, Elise. She wanted a live reaction, but unfortunately we don't live stream these podcasts.
Yeah,
so this is the
live.
Best we're going to get.
Okay.
Her question is, will you please sing her down the aisle on her wedding day?
Oh.
What are you going to say to that? It's cute, isn't it? Oh.
The girl, we need to cut the camera now.
Oh, no. That's so cute. Oh. I think the answer is yes, Elise.
No.
Oh, that's really cute. He's emotional. I think this is a good enough live reaction.
I think
it's
a good enough live reaction.
And the answer is yes.
It's going to make such a good clickbait thumbnail.
Mitchell got emotional on a sick debut bit.
Oh.
Yeah, oh my God, I'm so glad I remembered that. I almost forgot for a second. Well, what a lovely way to end. Very sweet. Okay, now we can resume with that.
Now I'm going to have to go. Gonna go wet the tits.
Right, okay. If the boot fits,
wear it.
Okay, see you next week.
Perfect.
Bye, everyone.